Be'ada.
Neged tzaras ki sielo v'chuve lakoyim. The person shall be brought. Okay, and neged tzaras, if it will be in a person, v'chuve, the person shall be brought to the koy. Okay, there's no Rashi on this. What does the Targum say in this pasuk? Machtash sigiru. A machtash sagiru arese benosha. Now, what does that mean? A machtash means a nega. Tzaras. He's translating the word tzaras to the word segiru. Segiru means to be locked up. Arese be'enosh, if it will be upon a person, v'yite se levos kahano. This person will be brought to the priest. All right, we have to see what this word means, the word segiru. So, this is Perek Yigimel. Okay, pasuk tes. Perek Yigimel Pasuk Tes says here in the Ma'at Tzori, Pasuk Tes says, V'tesei levos kohanim. Now, it's not telling us what the word tzaras means. I'm going to go back a little bit. The first time the word negat tzaras appears, in order to get some appreciation of what's going on, because we're starting from Sheni, as we do. And I'm going to go back to hear what it says over here, the word, for the very first time, the word tzaras, which is pasuk, perek yigimel pasuk beis. Okay, l'negat tzaras, it's pasuk yigimel pasuk beis. And the Targum here says, in pasuk beis, l'mach tosh sigiru. Here's the first time that the word appears. And here, Tirgim tzaras al shem soifoi, shetzrichim lahas giroi. Avil bezoyar perishu sigiru al shem shesoiger es ho oirois ho elyoinim. Uvdrashois ri ibn shuaf. This is a Talmud of the Rashba, kasa rabbeinu derashu mitzoira, mitzi shem ravitim mungulis sigiru, shoisogar piv ule shoinoi. Wow. Rabbi Yoinis on Ibashitz perish al ma al pimasha omer bezoyar. Shemetzora ein tefilosin nishmas kevin shadi beloshen hara, v'lochein nikra segira shemiskeru b'fonav sha'arei shemaim. Okay, so I have many very, very interesting perushim as to what this word means. Again, look on the screen, it says there's a nega. Nega is a machtash. Maybe we'll go back to that word in a few moments. And then it says a machtash of segiru. Why does the Targum translate the word saras with the word segiru? Giru. So the answer is, he provides over here in this sefer that I'm holding in my hand, this wonderful sefer.
We're learning Tazria, right?
Tazria. We're learning Tazria. Tazria, Tazria, Perik Yud Gimel, Pasik Yud. We're starting, we always start from Sheni, and we're starting a little bit further in because I want to start from a new section. I don't want to, because the other psukim are middle of a section, so I just moved into the psukim to this pasik. What is the translation of the word negat saras in Aramaic? Targum says, a machtash, that is a nega, sigiru is tsaras. Ki arei sehe be'enosha, if it will be in a man, v'yite se levos kahana, this man will be brought to the kohen. Now, let's work backwards. Let's first focus on the word tsaras. What does that mean in Aramaic? Sigiru. What does that mean? What does that word mean? So the answer is, the word sigiru over here in this sefer, it gives us four interpretations why the Targum Unkelis selected this unique word. What is the shoyresh of this word? Sogar. Sogar means to close. What is being closed? Now, so the first interpretation he provides is that the pasuk here is describing this individual al shem soifai based upon the end game. What do you mean the end game? When a person comes to a kohen with a nega, he's not immediately put away, declared to be a mitzvah. Many times it's a question. If he does not have all of the simonim, he's told to come back. He's called a mitzvah, he's called a mitzvah. Let's use the terminology. There's a mitzvah muskar and a mitzvah muchlat. what is the difference between these two words? Muchlat means absolute. When a person has all of the simanim, then he's called a metzora muchlat. Muchlat means confirmed, complete. And that means he has to leave the gimel machanos, three machanos. He's not allowed to live in Yerushalayim, any within the city itself. He has to shave off all of his hair. He has to rip his clothing, rice kuya. Basically, he sits shiva. And he has to wrap his head in a shmata. And he has to do this until the nega goes away. And when the nega goes away, then the kohen comes to look to guarantee that the nega went away. And then he goes through a very long, lengthy process of tahara, where he has to wait 7 days. He has to go to mikvah. Then he has to bring two birds. After he brings two birds, one bird is slaughtered and the other bird is dipped in its blood. Then on the eighth day, the next day, he has to go through a process of shaving off his hair again. And he has to bring three korbanos. And he has to have oil. And he has to come to the Azara. It's a very long process. It's a very complicated mesach called Mesachta Nigoim. In fact, it's the hardest thing for me, my little teeny head, the hardest thing I ever learned is Mesachta Nigoim, the Mishnayis. Mishnayis Mesachta Nigoim is extremely complicated, extremely difficult. Spent an enormous amount of very good Chavrusa, who taught me the Mesachta. It took a very, very long time. And in this process, so there are two different types of Mitzoroim. It's when he is in question. His situation is in question, and he has to wait and come back a week later to reanalyze, to reassess his situation. That's called a Mitzora Muskar. Muskar means he's locked up. He's put in quarantine. But he's not yet called a Mitzora Muchlat. The men. Muchlat means he's confirmed. And then he's in a lot of trouble. Then he has big problems. But in the meantime, until he's confirmed, he's only Nishtahi Nishtaher, there are some simonim. And all of the simonim is called a Mitzora that's Muskar. He must be put into quarantine. And we will see what the situation is, and we'll come back and reassess in a week. Therefore, according to the Targum is calling the word Tsaras. He's translating it on the word Sigiru. He is locked up. He is in quarantine. This is what will happen to him when the Kohen looks at the Nega and discovers that he has a problem. So we call him Al-Shem Soifai. A mitzvah that's muskar, he's locked down, he's in quarantine. It's an interesting expression because you're using a word of segiru, which refers to his halachic status. And that's not what we normally refer to. When we say the word tsaras, it means leprosy. It means a spiritual disease. It refers to a condition. And the word Sigiru is a halachic status. It is a state, it is what the halacha demands of such a person who does have tsaras. So it's not something that you would expect the Targum to translate. That's not the translation. You would expect the Targum to translate the word tsaras, means a person has a disease, and happens to be that a person has such a condition, has such a disease, spiritual disease, physical disease. This person has a whole Shulchan Aruch, and one of the laws is he has to be put in quarantine. But you would not define him as being in quarantine. That's not who he is. Tsaras means a disease, like leprosy. That's the Chiddush of the Targum. This itself is a world of commentary, that his halachic status is his essence, is who he is. Now he goes sides of your other interpretations, which are more Kabbalistic. And that is Sigiru. He learns that the reason why this person has this disease is because he failed to close his mouth. The word mitzoras, Chazal Dashen, is tsaras. The word mitzoira is motzi shem ra. A person who speaks Lashon Hara. The tsaras comes as a punishment of speaking Lashon Hara. That's where it comes from. So this person, we're describing that he is a person who has failed to keep his mouth shut. So the word segiru connotes he did not close his mouth, or he should have closed his mouth. And the other interpretation is something very interesting, and that is, this is more Kabbalistic, is that this person, the gates of heaven are closed to him. This in Shamayim, they're not listening to his prayers. The gates of heaven are shut on behalf of this person because he failed to close his mouth. So that is a very interesting translation of the word mitzarah. Let me now, with that introduction, let me read to you what it says again here one more time from the Ma'atzari. Targum tzaras al shem soifai. The translation of the word tzaras is according to the Targum based upon his halachic status that will come upon him after he is declared to be a mitzairah, which means shetzrichim lahasgiroi, it is necessary to put him in quarantine. Okay, that's interpretation number one. Avol bezoyar perush segiroi. Why does the Targum translate the word segiroi? Al shame shesoiger es ha'oiroi soel yoinim. Okay, this is Kabbalah, that the heavenly channels of spirituality are shut for this person because of his status. Third interpretation, uvdrasha sri evin shoyev, kaisev rabbi seinu darshu mitzayra, moitzi shemra, v'tir game ungalis segira, sheloi sogar piv ulishon. He did not keep his mouth shut. Rabbi Yohannes and Eibeshitz perish al pima sha'amr b'zoyhar sha'amitzayra ein tefilosai nishmas kevon shedibelosh nara ulechei nikra segira sheniskiru b'fanav sha'ari shemayim. The gates of heaven are shut for this person. Okay, very unique translation for the word mitzayra. Segiru. Now, what does it mean? Machtash. Nega. A nega. The first word of the Targum is called a machtash. So here it explains, Meloshen kisi sha, kisis, or kisi, I'm not saying it right. Kisisa, kisisha, to crush, a mortar, you grind wheat. Sheshem nega hu kumo mako. The word a nega comes from a wound. What happens? How does a person get a wound? He's crushed. Someone takes a piece of wood and gives him a zetz. He bangs him. So when he bangs him, that causes the flesh, that location of the body, to be crushed. And when it's crushed, there's a bruise. And that bruise produces what's called a nega. So the translation for the nega is the crushing of the flesh. When the flesh has been crushed due to the impact of a tool, a piece of wood, a fight, or someone's bare fist. Like if you go to the Oscars, and someone gives you a smack across the face in front of the whole world, right? And you see that in the news today. You're very pure people. You don't know from these things. Don't forget. You know we're talking over here. You know the whole world is listening. Mayor, it's not a coincidence that both of the people were. I'm not going to say. Mayor, you there?
You're talking about Schwarzes?
You got it. This is what happens. This is what happens to society.
It's beyond the pale.
This is what happens to a society where you give.
That's right.
You give the shchayrim.
Can you imagine if it would have been a white comedian?
Yeah, exactly.
If it would have been Rickles.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Or Jackie Mason, what would have happened?
Unbelievable.
He would have come out with a knife and killed them.
Wouldn't be tolerated. It wouldn't be tolerated. It wouldn't even happen. This is what happens when
would have happened. He would have killed him.
You give a Supreme Court justice based on has to be. This is what happens to society. Okay, so nega is when you give someone a frask. You give a frask. A frask. When you give someone a frask, there is a crushing of the flesh. A crushing.
You're going to be in trouble because you're saying nega tzaraz.
Nega is a mach tash. It's a mortar crushing. Segiru, what happens to this person as a nega? He's put in quarantine. He's put, the person that has a nega, it's as if Hashem has hit him. Hashem has embarrassed him. Hashem has made a statement. And therefore he must be locked up and the gates of heaven are closed on behalf of this person. Okay, now the next part of the Targum is V'yatesei levas kahana. This individual that exhibits signs of a crushing on his flesh, which demands that he ultimately be put in quarantine, he will be brought, and before he's put in quarantine, he will be presented to the Kohen. Now here he has an entry on these words, Pasuk Yud, and he says over here, V'yatesei levas kahana, Eitz Lashon Hava, the Eitz Lashon Halicha K'may Halach Ilav Megor, Noif Alba Milas Lavas. I will Eitz Lashon Re'iya K'may V'nira Shemes L'Koyin, Eina Noif Alba Lavas, Lavas. So here it says the word Lavas. Lavas means to be brought, fine. L'Chahana V'Eitz Lashon Nesina. Okay, this is straightforward. Next Pasuk. Pasuk Yud. V'ra'o HaKoyin V'hinei. The Koyin gives a look. And what does he see? V'hinei Se'etz Levano Ba'ar. There's a se'es. It's white. And what is a se'es? Se'es, he translates it over here as swelling. I don't know where he got that from. Okay, that's a tremendous chiddush. That's white, ba'or, in his skin. V'hi hafcha se'or lavan. And it transformed the hair inside of that wound white. U'michyas basar chai ba'seis. And there is fresh, healthy skin within the seis. Okay, so we have over here a lot of vocabulary words which need to be explained. Listen over here what it says in English, even though, again, we don't take anything English says too seriously, but it's a good starting point. If the priest finds on the skin a white swelling, the word ba'ar is the skin, seis levana, he's calling a swelling that's white, and which has turned some here white. V'hi hafcha ser, some here. What does that mean, some here? The halach is that they have two hairs. It'll be the drasha. U'michyas, and within this, what he calls a white swelling, there is raw flesh. U'michyas, what's the word u'michyas? A patch, he calls it. Of basar chai, undiscolored flesh. It's not white, it's the regular color. Basseis, inside the swelling. So you basically have, you have on the perimeter there is a whitish color that is unusual, and in the center there is skin that is the regular color, and in the center of all of that, in the michyas, in the center, there are at least two white hairs. Let's see Unklus. And then let's see Rashi maybe first, then we'll go back. Rashi says u'michyas. Okay, Michyas, Rashi is jumping to the end of the pasuk. He's not telling us what the Se'es Levana Ba'ar, and he's jumping to the end of the pasuk. Michyas. I don't know what this word is. Shenepach Niktsas Haloiven Shebesech HaSe'es Lamar Basar. It turned. Now this is a very important word of Rashi. Rashi learns that the way it comes about is first the entire center is first white. The whole thing is white. And then, after the entire nega is white, then a patch of regular colored skin appears. Shenepach, it was transformed. Miktsas halevin, a portion of the white. Shebesoicha seis, inside the seis, lemare vosa, to the mare vosa, to what appears. Now Rashi is very precise, and Rashi is saying that what's inside the center is not real basar. It's smitten. It's not the way it's supposed to be. When it says here basar chai, Rashi learns it looks. It has taken on the color of regular healthy flesh. But when you analyze it, when you look at it very carefully and you touch it, you will notice that it's not. The entire center of this wound, of this area, is damaged flesh. The entire area is a nega. The flesh has been damaged. On the perimeter, it's white. In the center, it used to be white. But the situation is such where now what used to be white has changed color. And the color is the color of ordinary flesh, but that does not mean you're dealing with ordinary flesh in the center. Because if you did have ordinary flesh in the center, and on the perimeter you had a white ring, that would not necessarily be called a nega. That's not called tsaras. Tsaras must be contiguous. It must be a section of flesh from a certain size of a gris. It's a sign of a bean. A certain size of a bean has to be a certain size. If you have a ring and in the center you have regular ordinary flesh, that's not called a nega. It has to go from end to end. Here you have that. It's just that in the center, the color of what you're looking at is the same color as ordinary flesh. But does that not the texture? The texture is smitten flesh that's been crushed. Shenepach mixas haloivin shebesechaseis lamarivasa. Afhi simintuma. This also called the simintuma. Sear lavan. Now Rashi goes on to explain. Sear lavan beloy michya. Umichya beloy sear lavan. The afal pi shlenemra. Afki besimintuma. Sear lavan beloy michya. Umichya beloy sear lavan. That alone would be enough. That's also enough. The avopi shloi nemer michya ella baseis af bechol hamaris v'toldo sehen hu simin tuma. Okay, now here we're going over here to some really heavy duty stuff, which is very complicated, which is over my head. But in Masechta Nigoim, the Gemara learns out there are four different colors of white, four shades of white. Something called a sapachas, something called a se'es, something called a damdam, and something called yirakrak. Okay, I'm getting a little confused. I don't know what I'm talking about, but there are different shades. There are different shades. This particular shade is called one of the shades. And the Gemara has a whole discussion, which one is more white, which one is compared to snow. Rashi probably says a lot of this in the parasha. But right now, let's just isolate what we're learning over here. Se'es levana is a shade of white. Not like what it says over here in the English translation, that it is swelling. He, for some reason, says a white swelling. I don't know where he got that from. Maybe it says that in one of the other commentators. But according to Rashi and according to the Mishnayos, the word se'es is nothing other than a color, a certain shade of white. And it's there are two possible ways to declare this to be a nega. A nega mukhlat. Either inside the se'es, there is a michya, without white here. Or there is white here without the michya. And here, the chiddush is, let's say both of them are together. There is a michya, and there's a white, two white hairs. Certainly. So go over there. Shenepach mixas haloivin shebesuch haseis lamarivasa. Afi sivin tuma. The loivin, in other words, just a michya alone is enough to declare this nega to be a nega. Then Rashi explains, you can have a ser lovan beloi michya, or a michya beloi ser lovan. The af al pishlonemer michya elabas, it only says the michya by the case of se'es. Af v'chol hamarois, all the other colors. There's a machlokes in the Mishnayos, v'shamay, v'shilil, how many different varieties of white. There are four basic colors, and then the Gemara talks about toldoi se'em, which makes it into eight colors. There are four ovois, which produce eight, is also a simen tuma. So let's step back. Some things now coming back to memory from my days learning this Masechta. And that basically is like this. If a person goes to a Kohen and presents a Kohen a bright white spot on his flesh, and the white spot is contiguous, and it's at least the size of a grist, it's not such a big size, like a bean, a certain type of bean, the circumference has a diameter of a bean, and there is no white here in this patch of white, and as well there is no what's called a michya, there is no patch of what appears to be the color of regular flesh in the center, then the law is this fellow is put into quarantine for 7 days. And he's told to come back when the Kohen comes to visit him 7 days later. If after 7 days, the size of this nega diminishes, it gets a drop smaller, he's tohar. Nothing happens to him. If it gets bigger, that's called pisyoin, then he's declared immediately to be called a mitzora muchlat, and he has to go through the entire process of tahara, which means he has to be locked up, he has to rise kriya, he has to shave all of his hair, then he has to, when he becomes tohar, he has to go bring a very lengthy process of tahara. That's what happens if there is no white hair, and there's no michya, and he's put in quarantine for 1 week, and when he comes back on the second week, it's spread. Let's say it doesn't spread, it's exactly the way it was the week before, then he's put in quarantine for a second week. If after 2 weeks, it spreads, he's tameh. If it gets smaller, he's tahor. If it sprouts a white hair, or it sprouts a michya in the center, he's tameh. And if nothing happens after 2 weeks, it remains the same exact size, he goes free. He's tar. So before we get into the situation of putting him in quarantine to see what happens in a week, a person can come on the first visit and immediately be declared a mitzara muchlat if he has the white spot plus one of two things. Either in the white spot there is a patch called a michya, or in the white spot there is two white hairs. You don't need both. You have the white spot, that's called the nega tzoras, and in that white spot, if you have either two white hairs or you have a michya, a patch of flesh that has the same color as regular flesh, immediately he is declared to be a full-fledged, confirmed mitzvah, and it requires a whole Shulchan Aruch what to do. But let's say he has both, certainly. If he has both, it goes without saying, you don't need both, just one or the other, either a white hair or a michya. But let's say he has neither. He just has a white spot, and he does not have a hair and does not have a michya, then he's called a mitzora muskar. And that's in fact what the Targum calls a nega tzoras muskar. He's put in quarantine for 1 week to see what happens. After 1 week, there are many possibilities. After 1 week, the Kohen comes back on day seven, either two white hairs sprouted, tamei, or a michya sprouted, tamei, or it spread, tamei. Three things can happen after 1 week. If two white hairs did not sprout, if a michya did not develop, and if it did not spread, then it's exactly the same. You lock him up for another week. If it got smaller, then he's tahor. If they did lock him up for a second week, it's the same rules. At the end of week number two, if white hairs sprouted, tamei. If a michya sprouted, tamei. If it got smaller, tahor. If it got larger, tamei. But now, if it stays the same, after 2 weeks, he's also tahor.
What about color? Color doesn't matter?
Color, so yes, let's say it goes from a color that's a deeper white to a different shades of white. I don't remember what the Mishnah says. It could be. I don't think it makes a difference. I do not believe it makes a difference. There are four different types of colors. Four, which are eight. There are four main colors, which each of the main colors has a child color, which is a shade of that color. Four different types of colors. Only one of the colors is called the se'es. And although this pasuk over here is only discussing the se'es, the Gemara has a discussion of the Mishnayos that you have to go through all the psukim. We expand the scope. The same law will apply to any one of the four colors, or really any one of the eight colors, shades of white. Any one, the same law will listen. Now, with that in mind, let's again read the pasuk. over here, what does the Kohen see? We have a guy who has a nega tzaras. A nega means the skin has been crushed due to a wound. It is a tzaras. Targum says we're calling it tzaras al shem soifai. If he will be confirmed, either as a muskar or a mukhlat, he'll have to be locked up. So we're going to call him already called a, as a Targum called it, in the previous pasuk, we called him a sigiru. Now in this pasuk, it says, what exactly does he see? So he's the Kohen sees, vihine behold, se'es levana. This is a shade. This is one of eight colors. And whatever applies to this color will apply to the other seven colors. He sees that there's a se'es levana ba'ar. There's a spot in his skin. Anywhere on his skin. Not on his head. Not on his beard. Only on his body. Not on the head, because the head has its own set of rules. The forehead has its own set of rules. And his beard has another set of rules. We're dealing now on his skin, on his arm, his body, his back, his feet, anywhere on the body. He has a shade, one of the eight shades on the skin. Now it's coming to teach you, that alone is not enough. Just having a white spot is not enough to be declared a full-fledged mitzora that is required to bring korbanos. It's not enough. But let's say he has a white here. Vihi hafcha se'ar lavan. In this white spot, there is a se'ar lavan. And the Gemara learns, the Mishnah, when it says the word se'ar, it does not mean one here. One here is not enough. How do you know that? It's a drasha. He needs to have two white hairs. And then when it says, umichyas basar, this does not mean and. The vav umichyas means or. In this white spot, there is either two white hairs or there is a patch called michyas basar chai. That's a term. Michyas, which means, the word michyas means alive. It means raw. Of basar chai. It's like living flesh. The word chai, I don't know why, appears twice. It's a very hard expression. Basar chai means raw flesh. And the word michyas also means loshen chai. So why is the word basar sandwiched between two words that say chai? I don't know. But it means there's basar. And this basar is chai m'chai. And Rashi is going to learn, it doesn't mean that it's real basar chai. It means it looks like basar chai. It's a matter of perception, not a matter of texture. The nega has its own texture, whatever that means. And now in that nega, there is this thing, this thing, which I don't know what this thing is. I don't know if anyone knows what this thing is. You learn the Mishnayos, it doesn't seem there's too much clarity what this thing is, even what tzaras is. Zamichyas chai. This alone is called a simon tumah. And where is this? This is in the middle of Basseis. So the next pasuk goes on to say, this happens. This is called a tzaras noshenes hi be'or besaro. If he has one of these two conditions in the white spot, either two white hairs or michyas basar chai, this is a revelation that this fellow has what's called tzaras noshenes. And noshenes comes from a lot of old. Now, what does it mean here, old? It means, for the moment, it means it's the real deal. This guy is confirmed. You know, set off all of the alarms. This guy's a terrorist. He's the real deal. This is a tzaras neshenesi, ba'ar b'saro. Immediately, with no hesitation, there's no quarantine for this fellow. Vitimo hakohen lo yaskiren. Don't put him away for 1 week. Ki tamehu. Okay, so this is the basic. Now let's see the Rashi on this pasuk. It goes slow now. Now that we have the basic idea, we have something called a michyas. What's a michyas? He has an old French word which I have no idea what this means. This word beloshein am zar, which this case means a Yiddish of French. Okay, I always tell you, French, this is not old French. There's no such thing as old French. This is a language you're not going to find in any dictionary. Laz means, just like Yiddish, what we call it Yiddish, is a version, a dialect of German. When Rashi says Belaz, it means a dialect, a Jewish dialect of French, which we have no record of. The same way Jews spoke, they created their own dialect of German, which is called Yiddish, and it's a cousin, a very close cousin to German. So too, the Jews who lived in France, they spoke French, and they developed their own dialect of French, which is called, Rashi calls Belashon Amzar. And when Rashi wrote his parish, since Rashi was the Frenchman, who called Rashi the Frenchman? The Rambam. The Rambam was born after Rashi already died. And the Rambam referred to Rashi as the Frenchman. The Frenchman. Rambam says that he really would want to write a parish on the Chumash, but it's not necessary because the Frenchman already did it. They don't live at the same time. Rashi, Rambam lived a little bit later than Rashi. So in any event, we have over here this, that what is Shenepach Mixas, what is it over here? Shenepach Mixas Haloiden, some of the white spot turned Shebesech HaSeis Lemare Vosa. Afhi, this alone is called a Simen Tumah. And then Rashi says, what else is a Simen Tumah? A white ears. Seir Lavan, white ears beloy Michya. And then Rashi repeats, Umichya beloy Seir Lavan, that's enough. You don't need both. The Avalp, now Rashi's question here is over here, you have your white spot. And in the white spot is either two white ears or a Michya. But it says this halacha only with regard to one of the eight colors. How do we know that this halacha applies to the other seven colors? The af al pi shtoy nemra michya ela basse eis, which is a color. Af b'chol hamarois v'toldoi seim hu simen tuma. The same law applies. So what is the law? What does the next pasuk say? Tzaras neshenasi. Maka yishanehi tachas hamichya. This is called an old maka. Under the mich, so Rashi is giving you some very fancy interpretation over here, that the michya is just covering up the maka yeshana he tachas hamichya. This words according to Rashi only tzaras neshenasi is going back only on one of the two cases, on the case of umichyas boser chay baseis. These words, Tzaras Neshenes, is not going on the white spot, and it's not going on the white spot with the two white hairs. According to Rashi, these words, Tzaras Neshenes, is in the situation where there's a white spot, and in the center of the white spot, there's a Michya. This is a Simen Tumah, the Michya. Don't think that it's not a real Maka, no. Amaka Yeshanahi Tachas HaMichya V'chabur Zoniris Beria L'mala. And don't be deceived by the fact that the color of the skin looks like healthy flesh. This Chabur Niris, it looks healthy L'mala, but V'tachteha, underneath this skin, which looks to be very colored correctly, Melea Lecha, it's filled with pus. Shaloi Toim Ahol V'yolsa Michya Atan. And don't make a mistake, I think that since the color in the center is the regular color of the other skin. Don't make a mistake. No, he's Tomei. Okay, Rabbi Thomas, if you remember, he's Tunkulis. V'yachzei kahana v'ho amka chavra b'mashcha. So we hear, it could very well be that he's coming to disagree with Rashi. You see, Rashi and Tunkulis, they always disagree. He used the word amka. He used the word se'es, is not a color. Okay, you have to go to the Mishnais. There is a Amka Chivra, a deep white. No, maybe it is a color. Amka means deep. Maybe this is a color. The Mashalihi Hofchas Se'ar L'Chivar to white. The Roishan Bisra, which means the Michya. He calls the Michya to mean the Roshem. Chaisa, it's alive, be'amikta. Okay, we're going to have to go look tomorrow and see what it says over here in the Mat Sari on this. And then the next pasuk says, Sigiru Satika, this is an old Maka. B'mshach Bishrei. Viso evine kana to declare tome lo yaski rine, do not lock him up. Ire nisaf liistame. This is an easy pasuk, but the pasuk before we need really to spend a little more time and see some of the depth of what it means over here. Okay, thank you very much for coming. Have a good evening. This hard stuff. Take care. Good night. Good night. Good night, everyone.
Are you thanking us? We thank you.
No, I have to thank you. You do more for me than you do than I do for you. There's no doubt about it. Believe me. Yeah.
Listen, I was at a wedding last night.
Yeah. A ger? What did you win? Was it a ger?
No. It was a Chaim Berlin wedding.
Yeah, there was a Chaim Berlin wedding with a ger. The chassan was a ger. Was that the wedding you were at?
No, not this one.
Yeah.
And Rothman, you know. And they brought in Eichenstein for Yerushalayim to be the Sadek Kedusha.
Who's Eichenstein from Yerushalayim?
So, here's a yeshiva Yerushalayim. So, David was the read the ksuba. He finishes reading the ksuba.
Which David? Hill David?
What?
Which?
Yeah. They bring up two new Eidim.
Yeah.
They read another pasuk, and they
signed it on the spot.
Yeah.
So that they do that half the time. They do that a lot. That's not uncommon.
That's Minhag Yerushalayim.
They do it in America. They do it plenty of places. I think if Herschel Schachter does it, why you have Herschel Schachter does it like that. They do this. It's not so uncommon.
I know in Eretz Yisrael by a chuppah.
Eretz Yisrael, they do it all the time. But not in America.
That's
right. In America, they always sign the ksuba.
And they have two copies.
Wait. No. That's not true. The Kala does not sign the ksuba. No way. Impossible.
The Chassan
signs. Only the Chassan. The Tanoim, they both sign.
Right, and there's two copies of the Ksuba.
What? What are you talking about?
Listen to me. Would you listen to me?
Yeah.
It's one copy stays in the file in the Moetz HaDatit. You open it, what's called a tick, a file that you want to get married.
Okay.
And they approve you to get married. They give you, they supply you with two Ksubas.
Okay.
One Ksuba goes to the Kala. The other Ksuba gets registered and stays in the...
Besdin.
In the Rabbanut.
Okay.
Okay. The Rav who does the Masada Kedushin has to deliver a signed copy of the Ksuba, including his signature, to the Rabbanut. Otherwise, they don't register the wedding.
Okay. Now, let me ask you, in Eretz Yisrael, do the Haredim do this? Do they register?
If they don't want to register, they don't do it.
But do they? I'm asking, what is the commonly done by the Haredim and Eretz Yisrael? Do they register?
I don't know. I think they all register it.
Okay, makes sense. Okay.
Because unless they don't want to register, and, you know, when they come to America 10 years later...
They got big problems.
Huh?
They got big problems then.
Why?
No, because if they're not going to register, ultimately you're gonna have trouble if you're not going to register. The day will come when... You're looking for trouble if you're not going to register.
They don't register because they don't want to get. They want to get a.
They want to go on insurance. They want to get their parents' insurance.
They also want to get welfare. They
exactly right. A lot of kids. Right. So it's the same
right?
Shtick. It's the same shit like in America. In America, the Masada Kedusha is supposed to file a marriage license with the government.
Yes, my question was, I don't know if Eichenstein is registered to file to sign a. American document.
Could be he's
maybe
not.
Maybe they had someone else sign the file.
Right, could very well be. That's right.
So they had a band. I said they had a band with a choir, a guy singing with four guys, choir, in addition to three musicians. They all had long payers with big hands.
That's extremely common today. That's already.
And it was only like the music was wild, like trance music, but they were singing Hasidic songs, you know, Jewish songs, no Goyish songs. Anyway, that's it.
So who okay. So who, was it a nice wedding? Who's the Masada Kedushin? You told me Eichenstein. He was the Masada Kedushin?
Right.
So who were the Chaim Belinas that were there?
Who were the Chaim Belinas? A lot of Chaim Belinas was there. I don't know the guys. I don't care.
This is the one who's not solo? This the Wolf scene?
Yeah.
He lost
yeah,
a lot
yeah.
of weight? He lost a lot of weight?
Oh, wow. Don't recognize him.
He looks great, huh?
He looks great. He was skinnier than his son.
Really? It's
yeah.
amazing. It's amazing. You know why he lost weight?
Because he was very sick with Corona. That's why.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Take care. Good night. See you tomorrow.
All right. Zygazons.
Rabbi Levine.
Yeah.
That's right. Quick question. You mentioned earlier today about the whole thing with the video where they can, the person lost the Becher, they have, you can, basically, they have the video of the whole thing, all goings on in Shabbos, right? So then why can't you take out, let's say, the clip with the rabbi speaking and put it posted on Torah anytime right now? This was recorded earlier, you know, just put
it's not Shabbistic. You really can, but it's just not, it's not in the spirit of Shabbos. You can technically.
Well, it's not in the spirit of Shabbos. Wait a minute. But you did it already. I mean, you know, it's not, I mean, the
no.
surveillance.
Because then Shabbos. What's going to happen is when the rabbi's going to give a drush, he's talking to the camera. It's technically you can. You're right. You technically.
Oh, sorry, he's not speaking to the camera. It doesn't matter. He speaks regularly. This,
you
know,
you're making Orthodox Judaism into reform. It's not in the spirit. It's technically 100% mutter, but it's not.
So why is the whole thing the spirit of Shabbos when you're recording that guy at the boat, so who got an Ali and all that?
It's not. I think the guy is wrong. I think what he did was terrible. You're right. I think what he did was wrong. I think it's not the right thing what he did. I agree with you 100%.
Okay.
I agree with you. What he did, you have to have the cameras going for safety reasons, right? I don't know. You have that. So you have. Just because the cameras are going for safety reasons, everything's being recorded, it means you have to go Mitzvah Shabbos and go and go and look at the Nusach. There was a Maisa. I don't know where, which Hasid, which maybe was Babov, maybe it was Satmar, where someone did this. They put a tape recorder underneath the Omud on Yom Kippur. And he recorded the Nusach HaTfilah. The whole davening.
Really?
Whole davening. I don't remember if it was Bells, if it was one of the big Hasidim. They called in the guy, they found out the guy he told someone he did. And they called him in, they called him into the Rebbe, and they told him, hand it over. Hand over the tape. This goes like years ago. And it could be he denied he did. I don't know. Ultimately, he gave it to them. And they destroyed it. And they basically it's like, you know, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, is a Dovash Rebbe Kedusha. This is not, it wasn't Osir what you did. It wasn't Osir. It's just, you don't do this. This is not what you do. You don't go record the Nusach HaTzvila on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. You don't do it. Now
yeah.
I know a guy in Chaim Berlin. They have there 1,500 people diving there. Now they broke it up because of Corona. So now no more. Now they split. The whole thing now is different now because since Corona, it's not going to be the same anymore. They're done with that. So, but back in the day when they had, they stuffed you in there like a sardine, after Yom Kippur, the guy went into the office and he downloaded the whole davening. And you know, suddenly no one even cared.
No, later on, this stuff gets out. You know, you probably is a lot
right.
of, like, probably people who thought
it's
that,
not
yeah.
in the spirit. It's not in the spirit of Yom
yeah.
Kippur and Rosh Hashanah. You can understand. Technically,
yeah.
Did you do anything wrong? No. You can't say you did anything wrong. Definitely not. But you know, that's what it all, at the end of the day, that's what it all comes down to. At the end of the day, it comes down to the spirit of the law. Orthodox Jew, and Shabbos, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, that's not what you do. That's not what you behave. Oh, but it's
yeah.
mutter. Yeah, so it's mutter. Driverless cars. Can you go on a driverless car on Shabbos? Yeah. Are you going to go in a driverless car? Well, not now. Maybe in 20 years it won't be. It'll be people will do it, but now you don't do it. You don't show up in shul in a driverless car.
Yeah.
Maybe in 20 years. Uvdin, right now, it's considered to be Uvdin Dechol. Zilus of the Shabbos.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I know.
Yeah.
I don't
know. Yeah. Okay, so I can clear that because
what this guy did was definitely wrong.
Said that over, I was like,
right, this guy, what this guy did, I know this guy fairly well, and I know the shul that he downs in the lake. Downs in a very chashu shul. He's a successful person. He basically supports the whole shul, and it's a very successful shul, and they have a very chashu rav. And he basically supports the shul, and he's the gabbai. He runs the whole shul. So he came to Flappish for Shabbos for a simcha. But his heart was back in Lakewood because he's a macha. He's a macha there. And it's a very big shul. There's a lot of things that are going on in that shul. That's where his heart was. And he cannot control himself. So when Shabbos was over, he couldn't control himself. So he has to go see exactly what happened.
Yeah, okay.
Is it the right thing to do? I don't think so. I don't think it's the right thing to do. But he did it. And he told me what he did. And he told me, I saw him with smiling and smirking. And he says, oh, now I know this and this. And by him, everything by him was a joke anyway. Like, this guy's a joker. This whole thing is a joker. Did he do anything wrong? No. You can't say he did anything wrong. Is it in the spirit of the law? There are certainly people that will go crazy over this. How dare you, Meshugna? You know, there are people like that. But Alpi Halacha? Api halacha? No. Is it something you shouldn't do? I couldn't care less. But there are people that are very sensitive to this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Not yet. Because I was just wondering, like, you know, once you do that, you can, you know, already...
Yeah, aim will never safe. 100%. But, you know, it's not Shabbistic.
Yeah. Very good. Okay. Nice guy. If I have a good night, everybody.
Good night. Be well. Mr. and Ms. Glad, have a good night. Be well.
Thank you, Ed. You too. Be well. Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot.
Mm-hmm.